Today we're going to talk more about becoming a man of God. So we have a man, and we talked about masculinity last time. Today we're going to talk about God, godliness. So we begin talking about godliness by looking at what is a walk with God, a masculine walk. And I love how the Apostle Paul ties walk with God with physical training, strength. 1 Timothy 4:8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Ah, a walk with God. A man of God connects to God by talking, that is prayer, listening, that's reading the Bible, repeatedly. That's how exercise is. If you want to do physical training, it is about going to the gym. It is about going outside. It is about physical, habitual training. And the Apostle Paul says this is important. But if we want to connect to God, it's about talking, listening, repeatedly, exercising, so to speak, that walk with God. I always love the difference between things that are intentional and things that just happen, like in a relationship. So the intentionality of being married is that you go to the same home every day if you're out working, to the same wife. That's very habitual and intentional. And you eat together. There's intentional practices. But out of that, love is possible. Out of that, interaction, serving one another occurs when you are in a relational habit. It's the same with God. As you open the Word of God and pray and intentionally walk through these habits, what happens is that you become closer to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit changes your life. More of God comes into your existence, godliness. So, a masculine man who walks with God in godliness is one who has a real walk. So how is your walk going? So as you become a man of God, one of the things needed is to intentionally ask, are you opening the Word of God and are you praying? Because what comes next is really piety. That's the worship of God. 1 Kings 11 verse 4, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. To me, what's interesting about this is here's a real guy, David, who at times was a real knucklehead in the story of Bathsheba or the story of the census. And his family wasn't perfect. But one thing about him is he had a heart for God. Solomon, his son, was one of the wisest that ever lived. And at some point, his heart was turned away from God. Now, there's discussion that later in life, Solomon came back. But when this was written, it was written, what characterized David was his heart for God. When it comes to godliness, do you have that sense of worship? Are you attending worship? Are you worshiping online? Are you one who, you know what worship does? Piety. What worship does is it takes us off the stage. It pushes us away from the negative traits of strength and narcissism and things that because of our sinful nature have occurred and occurred throughout societies. And it says, no, God, you are the Lord, and I worship and serve you. I am a person in submission to you. And worshiping God creates in our heart a sensitivity to the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, the living God, the sovereign God. So godliness then motivates us, a connection to God, a submission to God in worship, motivates us to live a godly lifestyle. So what's a godly lifestyle look like? Well, it's about moderation and contentment. The Apostle Paul continues in 1 Timothy 6, 6-10, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So, moderation and contentment. The Apostle Paul says, as we are connected to God, we are not connected to the material gods that the typical fallen masculinity chases after. We're not connected to trying to control everything. We're content. We know that God has a calling in our lives, and we're here for a purpose. Now, it may be that you are blessed with great wealth, but at your heart, you have contentment. You're not bound, mastered by that wealth. You may be called to do all sorts of things in life, but you have a contentment that you are able to judge the things that are good for you and things that are not good for you. It helps you avoid addictions. Now, that doesn't mean you won't struggle, but godliness tempers those propensities, those trails where we get into that create addictions, that create idols in our life. When we're content because God is our God, it changes the way we live, and we make different sets of choices. So godliness then makes us see where our real enemy is, and that is the devil and his demons. It makes us cling to God who saved us through the cross and empowered us through the Holy Spirit, who gave us hope through the resurrection. And we then, as men of God, see that we are fighting a fight, but it's not the fight to be superior against somebody else. It's not the fight against women, against other men. It is the fight against principalities and powers. The Apostle Paul talks that way, fight the good fight of the faith. 1 Timothy 6:11, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession." Now listen to this, everybody. "I charge you to keep this command," that's to fight the good fight, "without spot or blemish until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords." To keep this command, to fight the fight. Notice we see themes of worship there. God, the Lord of lords, who's our God. We fight this fight and we hold on. You know, I love pictures of firefighters who are in there, you know, going and risking their very lives to save others. That's a powerful theme of police. I love the roles of men who protect their families and their wives, and what servant masculinity can be, and to fight for that in our world, to fight for the unborn, for the defenseless. And somebody does do that, and may that be you coming out of your very godliness. There was one phrase in there, and I'll just refer back to it, without spot or blemish. And I think that's an interesting thing to think about, without spot or blemish, to be a man, but to avoid the abuses of power, the abuses of anger, the abuses of sex, sexuality, of greed, of hate, without spot or blemish, to be godly, to have our wills in submission to the will of God, like in the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To be a man of God, to become a man of God, is to walk in this walk of manhood, of manliness, of masculinity. Yes, it is rooted in your very creation, which we've talked about in the past, but it is more. The content of your character grows as it is connected to the living God of the universe.